In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Sobering words. Popular opinion holds that the majority of people will enter heaven, that heaven is simply the resting place of the dead, and so long as you are good and try your best, you will make it, and only the truly heinous will be left out. That is simply not true. Heaven is not the resting place of the dead. Not everyone will make it, not even most. 30% of the world is Christian, which means 70% is not. And apart from Christ, the piety of Buddhists, the sincerity of Mormons, the devotion of Jews, and the zeal of Muslims is not enough. No one comes to the Father apart from the Son. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name. Christ alone is it. But it's worse than that. Christ does not speak these words about those outside of the church, but he speaks these words about those within the church, those who call themselves Christians. So not everyone who is baptized, not everyone who attends a church, not everyone who serves at that church will make it either. Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, Christ says. And many travel on it. Small is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few find it. So then who can be saved? Only those who do the will of the Father. We need to let Jesus' words have their way with us. They sting our hearts. They're hard to hear. Let us not deflect these accusations to other denominations who are seemingly worse off than we, as if we could judge who will make it and who won't. But let us hear his words rightly. Let them pierce our mind and our hearts and our soul. That just because we call ourselves Christian, just because we pray, just because we show up on Sunday occasionally, doesn't mean that we will make it either. The Lord wants the heart, the prayers, the morality, the devotion, the church attendance are all outward things. The Lord wants the heart. And sin infiltrates the heart. It is not what goes into a man that makes him unclean, but it's what goes out of him. It's the sin that's produced by our sinful heart. It destroys relationships with a quick, biting word. It fills us with bitterness and resentment and envy. It seeks its thrills in the darkness of our own fantasies. It strikes the old and the young, the rich and the poor, the male and female, even the laity and the pastor. The more we engage in it, the more comfortable it becomes. And yet it never satisfies. It never delivers. But it only breeds discontentment, disunity, and only multiplies excuses. We always give ourselves the benefit of the doubt that we were acting with love and we just made a mistake, while others, we assume, were acting to hurt us or to harm us intentionally. It whispers in our ear that everything is okay just so long as we don't hurt anyone. So whose heart is free from this plague of sin? The law of God stands firm, and the moment we compare our hearts or ourselves with that law is the moment we are condemned. For we are all sin-ridden creatures, inheriting that sin from our very own parents. So we ignore the law of God by not faithfully studying it, by not faithfully learning it. We ignore the law of God. We ignore the law of God by deflecting its accusations to those other denominations, those other people who have rather obvious errors. And yet by doing this, we are admitting that we are imperfect. By comparing ourselves to others or our church to other churches, we are admitting that we do not stack up against God. Repent. For on the last day, all evildoers will be sent away. Only those who do the will of the Father will be saved. They will not be saved because they said, Lord, Lord. But they are saved because he said to them, I forgive you all your sins. They are not saved because they preached from pulpits or they taught about the Word of God or they spoke to their neighbor. But they are saved because God spoke to their hearts the message of reconciliation and implanted through His Word true and saving faith. They are not saved because they drove out demons, but because through holy baptism, God drove out demons from them and made their bodies His holy temple. They are not saved because they were influential members of the community, or because they wrote books on Christianity, or performed even miracles. But they are saved because God worked the miracle of faith in their heart through His Word. The will of God is the salvation of men. So to do the will of God is to believe in the one whom God has sent. It means God is active and we are passive. God does everything and we do nothing. For salvation is found in no one else, not even in ourselves. It is found solely in Christ. We call Jesus Lord. We have those outward works of Christianity, the morality, the church attendance, the prayers. So how do we know that we will make it? Well, because God is still working for you this day. He has baptized you. He has forgiven you. He still feeds you His body and blood. So let your confidence rest in what God does for you, not in what you have done outwardly. Fly straight to the one true God and cling to Him alone. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, your own works, or your own ways. You can have those outward works of Christianity, the prayer, the morality, the church attendance. You can have those without true and saving faith. The Lord wants the heart. So lay hold of God with your heart. Grasp Him and cling to Him alone. To cling to Christ with your heart means nothing else other than entrusting yourself completely to Him. For He alone is your Savior. He alone. When the Lord has the heart, when our hearts are devoted to Him, then we also confess that we are unworthy sinners, dead in sin by nature, and deserving of His eternal wrath and punishment. No comparing ourselves to others, no comparing our church to other denominations, no softening of God's law, but believing in Christ as your Savior with your heart means that you turn away from every sin and you fly toward Christ in faith. You throw yourself onto His mercy, for where else can you go? He alone has the words of eternal life. And so here is Christ coming to you yet again, intervening in your history to pour His blood-soaked forgiveness onto you. He is the one who carried out the will of the Father perfectly by laying His life down for you. He alone has done the will of God. He couldn't bear to see you suffer. He couldn't bear to see you have to pay for even one of your sins. So in love, He willingly went. In love, the Father sent Him. Salvation is found in no one else. Christ alone is the one who takes away the sins of the world. No saint, no apostle, no denomination, no pastor can help you. Christ alone is it. The blessed apostles had no idea America existed, let alone we exist. So how could they have helped us? But Christ knew. As He hung on that cross bleeding, He knew you. And He would not come down from that cross lest you be lost eternally. It is for you He died. You who live 2,000 years later and more than 8,000 miles away. It is for you, so that you might live in His kingdom forever. Sin is dangerous, and it is also very frustrating. False doctrine is dangerous and frustrating as well. None of us is immune to it, so we live by faith. We live by faith in the Word of God. But living by faith means patience and humility. We aren't missing out on anything the world has to offer. We're not being shortchanged by living a godly life. And neither are we saved simply because we bear the name Lutheran, but we are saved by Christ. And so daily we repent. The heart turns back toward God. We turn back to Christ to hear his word of absolution from the mouth of his called and ordained minister. So you do not come here to listen to me and what I have to say. You come to listen to Christ. You come to be in his presence. You come to hear his word, to receive his forgiveness. For he is the one who baptized you, and he is the one who still cares for your body and soul. As pastors come and go, Christ is the one who is with you forever, always leading you to those green pastures of heaven. So do not doubt where you stand with God. Do not wonder if you will make it or not, for the sacrifice has been made. And that sacrifice now stands alive, risen from the dead, and ready to give you all the blessings that he has won for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.